Well, greetings everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. Are we really observing the destruction of American democracy, as some are saying? Before you continue saying, well, this is not true, that is just a wild guess, let's not judge too quickly. Because I'd like to ask you a few questions, and I hope that you will watch this video all the way through and actually pass it on to others, because I believe what we are going to discuss today is of tremendous importance, not just for the United States of America, but also for you personally, whoever you are and wherever you may live. Have you heard of the NDAA? Concerned viewers of our programs in Germany sent me information saying, what's going on in the United States of America? And today I found an article posted on the Drudge Report, and I immediately printed it, but then 2 hours later I went back to the Drudge Report, and lo and behold, the article was no longer there. But I did find this article by Business Insider, dated December 14, 2011, saying, American Democracy, 1776 to 2011. And then the article goes on to say, it turns out that destroying the American Democratic Republic was easy to accomplish. Historians will write someday. Legislatures met in secret behind closed doors to rush through the National Defense Authorization Act of 2012, NDAA. And its twin sister, the Stop Online Privacy Act, SOPA. Sure, some independent media websites and John Stewart warned us about this. Ron Paul and Son warned us about this. Amnesty International and the ACLU have been screaming from the rooftops. But the American people let it happen, because the vast majority of us simply did not find out in time. And now President Obama's advisors are saying he is withdrawing his veto threat against NDAA, so it will become law, and so will SOPA. I have no idea, says author writes, why an American media blackout on NDAA is still in effect. Anderson Cooper, Chris Matthews, Bill O'Reilly, and the other broadcast journalists have been disgustingly silent on what is undoubtedly the most important news story of the past decade. The news, the most important news story of the past decade? What is he talking about? What is so terribly controversial about these laws? Well, the article goes on to say, combined NDAA and SOPA simply destroy American democracy. That isn't hype. That is not exaggeration. Within a few days, your freedom of speech will be gone. Post something controversial online, and the government can legally, quote-unquote, disappear it. Annoy the government too much, or criticize Congress' infinite wisdom and mercy, and you may find yourself in military prison for the remainder of your life, without access to a trial or attorney, even if you are an American citizen on U.S. soil. This is a brave new world. Watch what you say. Be mindful of whom you associate with. Do not post negative comments online. Do not assemble. Do not protest. Do not agitate. Do not give quote-unquote comfort to the quote-unquote enemy. This is a sad day for all of us. It turns out democracy was attacked from within. The historians will write someday, and we didn't even see it coming. I'm reminded of what Abraham Lincoln said. He said, if this country is going to be destroyed, it's going to be destroyed from within. But is this author correct with his warnings? Does he have any basis, any evidence for what he is saying? Many feel that these laws, which are in the process of being signed, are unconstitutional. Totally unconstitutional. And as an attorney, I'm always very interested in finding out when somebody claims that a certain law is unconstitutional. And so here, this is what, for instance, the Examiner wrote on December 15, 2011. The National Defense Authorization Bill 2012, or NDAA, passed in the House yesterday, containing language allowing the Pentagon to wage cyber war on domestic enemies of the state, a human and civil rights violation of freedom of speech and freedom of the press, as reported by MSNBC on Wednesday, potentially impacting both Occupy movement and Tea Party participants, plus independent news reporters and whistleblowers exposing government corruption. And then Forbes magazine wrote this on December 5. If Obama does one thing for the remainder of his presidency, let it be a veto of the National Defense Authorization Act, a law that would place domestic terror investigations and interrogations into the hands of the military and which would open the door for trial-free, indefinite detention of anyone, including American citizens, so long as the government calls them terrorists. And the article by the Examiner goes on to say that Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky, the son of Ron Paul, has repeatedly said that NDAA 2012, quote, puts every single American citizen at risk. So you are not excluded, whoever you are. If you ever go on Facebook, if you ever go on Twitter, if you ever write something via email, you are at risk. This is the article, actually, which was posted on the Drudge Report this morning after it was taken off again from December 16, saying, the House of Representatives passed the 2012 National Defense Authorization Act on Wednesday, and the Senate approved it on Thursday. So unless President Obama vetoes it, it's going to be law. Provisions in the bill codify an approach that allows for endless notices, endless detention of U.S. citizens and non-citizens picked up anywhere in the world. No wonder the Germans are concerned. No wonder other countries are very concerned about this extremely controversial law. It goes on to say they also give the U.S. military the option to detain U.S. citizens suspected of participating or aiding in terrorist activities without a trial, indefinitely. Notice the wording, participating or aiding. That means you don't have to do anything. It's enough you say something, because you're not then participating, but you are in a way aiding. It goes on to say a person can be detained under the law of war without trial until the end of the hostilities, the bill states. And of course we have now the war against terrorism, the war on terror, which is endless. So people who are accused of in any way aiding this war on terror or the terrorists can be detained indefinitely. You're telling me that couldn't happen in the United States of America? Let me tell you, my friends, don't be naive. Several years ago, I was involved in a lawsuit where the state of California unconstitutionally attacked a church, totally violated every law in the book. But it took that church 2 years to get a court to finally decide that what the state of California did was unconstitutionally infirm and destined to failure. Now, the church fortunately survived. How many of you, if you are being treated that way, would you be able to survive? Or if you're talking about small nonprofit organizations or churches. This article goes on to say the list of those against the provisions reads like an institutional who's who of national security. And then people are listed who were against this law. FBI Director Robert Mueller, the CIA director, the Secretary of Defense, dozens of senior White House counterterrorism officials, retired generals, and on the list goes. And that's why originally President Obama apparently said he's going to veto it. Now he's apparently willing to pass it, to sign it. Now whether he does or not, what we are seeing already is an absolute debacle that you could have the Senate and the Congress pass a law like that. And this wasn't passed based on party lines, because the majority of the Republicans and the Democrats passed it, but a strong minority of both Republicans and Democrats opposed it, and it was still passed. It goes on to say, they all have come strongly out against allowing the U.S. military to police U.S. streets and detain U.S. citizens, possibly overseas, without trial or access to their country's legal system. And so the concern is grave that there are constitutional violations involved. For instance, you have Article 3 of the U.S. Constitution saying that anyone accused of treason cannot be convicted without the testimony of two witnesses to the same overt act or a confession in open court. You see, I found that rather interesting because it's taken right out of the Bible. God has made it very clear that you cannot convict anyone, not just because of treason, really of anything, unless you have two witnesses. That's why our court system today allowing the conviction of people based on circumstantial evidence is absolutely opposed to and in contradiction to the law of the Bible. But nevertheless, in the Constitution, when it comes to at least treason, you can't be convicted. Now, they say, well, we're not convicting anyone. We are just putting him away, leaving him rot someplace for the rest of his life. Well, what about the Fifth Amendment, saying that a person cannot be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law? Now, if you are detained someone indefinitely, you most certainly are depriving him of liberty, don't you think? And then what about the Sixth Amendment, guaranteeing the right to a speedy and public trial, allowing the accused to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense, none of which would apply in accordance with that new law, which is in the process of being passed. You see, my friends, Jesus Christ warns true Christians that they will be hated by all nations when they stand up for the words of Jesus Christ. How can that be? As a true Christian, you believe in the true Jesus Christ, not a false Christ who had been proclaimed already at the time of Paul, not a false gospel which had already been preached at the time of Paul, a gospel which tells you you don't have to obey God's law anymore, a false Jesus who said, I came to do away with the law. You see, this is not what true Christianity is all about. We believe in Jesus Christ who said, I have upheld the commandments of my Father, and you are my friends if you do what I tell you. And he told us, put your sword away. Whoever takes it will perish by it. He says, love your enemies. Do good to those who hurt you and who are against you. That is totally opposed to fighting in war. And when we as true Christians say, no, we believe in Christ, we believe in what he does, we believe in what he says, we will follow his commandments, we won't participate in war, either by action or by words, how easily can we be looked upon as quote-unquote aiding in one way or another terrorism? Well, of course, we are totally against terrorism. We are totally against violence in any shape or form. And because of that, we won't participate in wars in any way. But you see, with these laws, they have every basis now to go against those who want to follow the true teachings of Jesus Christ. So be warned. Things in the United States of America, as around the world, will get worse and worse. This world is so much opposed to the true teachings of God, and they have absorbed so much the teachings of Satan the devil, who is called the God of this world, who has deceived the whole world, that a time of great persecution for the true followers of Jesus Christ is going to come. And no matter where you live, you are going to be affected. Keep watching, keep praying for God's protection, my friends. Until next time, this is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.